Welcome to Come Follow Me, Mental Health Insights with Dr. David Morgan. Each week we'll review a concept from the Come Follow Me lesson and talk about applications to improve our mental and emotional health. Hi, welcome to episode 51 of season 2. This week we are studying the book of Revelation, chapters 6 through 14. As we continue our study of the book of Revelation, you'll notice the writings are highly symbolic, and I encourage you to use study aids and other resources to help you better understand. But also, look for things that stand out to you personally. So much of our understanding of Scripture can be based on what the Spirit teaches us in the moment. As I was thinking about this, it reminded me of a story related by Sister Wendy Watson Nelson about an experience that happened decades before she married President Russell M. Nelson. At that time, she was a student at BYU. She was dating a man, and she was seeking revelation whether she should marry this man or not. Her bishop told her to watch General Conference and promised she would get answers to her questions about marriage as she prayerfully tuned in. Sister Nelson stated the following, quote, "I can still picture the Saturday of that April General Conference. I listened eagerly to every talk. I listened with my ears, mind, and heart, poised and ready to hear the answer to my question, should I marry this man? I experienced this day of General Conference unlike any other. It was a highly unusual day of talks, because each and every talk was on marriage, every single talk. Multiple speakers, but only one topic, marriage, or so it seemed. And the most amazing thing to me was at the end of all those Saturday addresses on marriage, the clear answer I received was, don't marry this man. I can still picture at the conclusion of the conference, turning off the TV, shutting off the cassette recorder, and walking directly and calmly to the telephone and dialing my fiancé's number to cancel our engagement." End of quote. Sister Nelson goes on to say that several years later, she was asked to prepare a Relief Society lesson on marriage. Since she had recorded those General Conference sessions, she thought that would be a good resource, so she went back to listen to them to get a quote, and this is what she said, quote, "I am asked to prepare a Relief Society lesson on marriage. I know just the audio tapes to review to find an excerpt from a General Conference address on marriage to supplement my lesson. I remember finding the clearly marked tapes and, with anticipation, pushing the play button on the tape player. And then I remember listening and listening for hours as the talks played on and on. But something was different about the talks this time. Something was missing. To my dismay, there was nothing, absolutely nothing, about marriage. Not one talk was on marriage. It had been the Spirit of the Lord that had taught me as I listened to General Conference. The Spirit had helped me hear exactly what I needed to hear." End of quote. Because of Sister Nelson's faith and preparation, the Lord had helped her hear what she needed to hear in that General Conference, even though the actual text of the messages had almost nothing to do with her question. So as you study passages of Scripture that might seem like they have little to do with your situation, make sure you are being prayerful and listening to the Spirit. You might get answers to prayer that have little to do with John's description of dragons and stars and seals. I had some of these experiences during my study this week, especially as I considered the readings with mental health as a backdrop. One of the passages of Scripture that stood out to me was Revelation chapter 7, starting in verse 9, which reads, quote, "After this I beheld, and lo, a great multitude, which no man could number, of all nations and kindreds and people and tongues, stood before the throne and before the Lamb, clothed with white robes and palms in their hands, and cried with a loud voice, saying, Salvation to our God which sitteth upon the throne, and unto the Lamb. And all the angels stood round about the throne, and about the elders and the four beasts, and fell down before the throne on their faces, and worshipped God, saying, Amen, blessing and glory and wisdom and thanksgiving and honor and prayer and might be unto our God forever and ever. Amen. And one of the elders answered, saying unto me, What are these which are arrayed in white robes, and whence came they? And I said unto him, Sir, thou knowest. And he said unto me, These are they which came out of great tribulation, and have washed their robes, and made them white in the blood of the Lamb. Therefore are they before the throne of God, and serve him day and night in his temple. And he that sitteth on the throne shall dwell among them. They shall hunger no more, neither thirst any more, neither shall the sun light on them, nor any heat. For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes. End of quote. Two things were important to me in this passage of Scripture. First, in verse 14, it talks about how these people got the white robes that they were wearing. It says that they came out of tribulation, and their robes were washed white in the blood of the Lamb. We have talked many times about the role of trials and difficulties in our personal refinement, and I hope we can all agree that challenges can be a great source of growth if viewed and utilized properly. Shortly after his wife unexpectedly died, Elder Richard G. Scott of the Quorum of the Twelve Apostles spoke in General Conference, and here is a quote from that talk. Quote, "When you face adversity, you can be led to ask many questions. Some serve a useful purpose, others do not. To ask, why does this have to happen to me? Why do I have to suffer this now? What have I done to cause this? Will lead you into blind alleys. It really does no good to ask questions that reflect opposition to the will of God. Rather ask, what am I to do? What am I to learn from this experience? What am I to change? Who am I to help? How can I remember my many blessings in times of trial? Willing sacrifice of deeply held personal desires in favor of the will of God is very hard to do. Yet when you pray with real conviction, saying, please let me know thy will and may thy will be done, you are in the strongest position to receive the maximum help from your loving Father." End of quote. Father Lehi promised his son Jacob that Jacob's afflictions would be consecrated for his gain, meaning that the challenges he faced in life would eventually turn to benefits and spiritual growth. It's important to understand that the righteous do not avoid trials. Believing that the righteous somehow avoid trials is an old, incorrect cultural adage that is not helpful. Now, staying on the covenant path will certainly entitle you to blessings and help from the Lord, and you may avoid certain types of difficulties by doing this, but you're not going to avoid every challenge. Our mental and emotional health improves as it is tested and tried. We get stronger when we are pressed and then choose to respond with action and change. If you are striving to stay on the covenant path and find that your journey is fraught with mental and emotional difficulties, take heart. You are simply being refined. I love verse 17 in Revelation chapter 7. I read it before, but it bears repeating. Quote, "For the Lamb which is in the midst of the throne shall feed them, and shall lead them unto living fountains of waters, and God shall wipe away all tears from their eyes." Regardless of how many difficulties we pass through, regardless of how many mental or emotional struggles we are called to endure, the ultimate result is that God will wipe away all of our tears. And I love this very personal description of our loving Father in heaven, kindly taking us into his arms and gently wiping the tears from our faces. He loves us so much. He loves us enough to let us struggle and work to become better. And I promise that the day will come for all of us where we will be happy and at peace. And it's those types of thoughts that help me get through difficult times. We can all use such thoughts to continue to move forward and believe in the promise that we will be redeemed. I always end my podcast episodes with an invitation to act and invite you to give prayerful consideration to which of these invitations would be good for you in your personal situation. Using the questions posed by Elder Richard G. Scott, this is the invitation, reflect on some personal difficulties that you've experienced and how they can help you grow. Regarding some personal challenge, ask the following questions. Or answer the following questions. What am I to do? What am I to learn from this experience? What am I to change? Who am I to help? How can I remember my blessings in times of trial? I have free worksheets that you can download to help you remember and implement the weekly invitations. To find out how to get these, just sign up for my email newsletter, and you can find that link in the show notes. Also, I invite you to subscribe to the podcast so you can access new episodes each week, and please share this with others that you think would help them. There is also written transcripts of the podcast, and you can find that link in the show notes. Thank you for listening, and until next time, this is Dr. David Morgan reminding you that change is possible, but change requires action, and to always keep moving forward. Thanks for listening. If you want to learn more, please visit Dr. Morgan's website at www.drdavidtmorgan.com.